Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, as always, you are mighty and to be praised this morning. Lord, you have given us so many blessings, beginning with the fact that we are each and every one made available to the forgiveness and the life through the blood of Jesus Christ on Calvary. Lord, thank you for the opportunity to be here this morning in your midst and in the midst of fellow believers. And Lord, our prayer at this time is if we got up this morning, or if we got in a car and drove to church, if we walked in here today without some level of expectancy and anticipation, that you in perfect love and power would speak to us and bless us in truth and spirit. Lord, that we would have that now, knowing that when we open your word together, we encounter you. What an awesome privilege, Lord. Fill us with that sense of anticipation about what you have to say to us today. And Lord, we're going to thank you right now in advance for what is to come, because we know it'll be good, because it comes from you. As always, we gather in Christ's name. We sing His praises in Jesus' name, and we pray in the most precious name of our Lord and Savior. And all God's people said, Amen. Good to be here this morning. I don't remember a time in the last handful of years when we've had more people sick. So please be in prayer for those. There's all grades of flus and pneumonias and stomach bugs and injuries and such going around. I don't remember a time when we've had more, so please remember those that are unable to be here with us today. As Wes said just a little while ago, today we observe Sanctity of Human Life Sunday. Every year the church sets aside a day especially to acknowledge and focus on, even in a different sense, celebrate the sanctity, that is, the God-given specialness of human life. All right? And what I want you to continually focus on this morning is we're going to talk about babies, and we're going to talk about unborn babies. We're going to talk about God. But I want you to remember that there is a sanctity, a God-given specialness in your life. Amen? Okay? There is so much potential. It's usually celebrated on the Sunday that falls closest to January 22nd, which is the anniversary of the Roe versus Wade decision that made abortion legal in this country at large. But we're going to do it today because it seemed right and fitting, and it really doesn't matter which day you do it as long as you do it. Amen? I want to invite you to turn with me, please, in your Bibles to Psalm 139, the 139th Psalm, Psalm chapter 139, however you want to refer to it. It's near the middle of your Bible, and if you're like me and you try to fan it out in the dead center and you happen to find Isaiah, just go to your left a little bit and you'll find Psalm, and we'll go to 139. And I'm going to read a half dozen verses out of Psalm 139, most of which you've heard before. We're going to put them in context. But here's what I want you to do, whether you're reading along in your Bible in your lap, whether you're reading along on the screen behind me, or whether you're just listening to it as I read it. I want you to focus very carefully on every word. I want you to pay close attention, because this is some very powerful stuff, and it's God's Word. Amen? All right? But Psalm 139, beginning in verse 13, God's Word says this: "For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful, I know full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. How precious to me are your thoughts, O God. How vast the sum of them. Were I to count them, they would outnumber the grains of sand. When I awake, I am still with you. May the Lord bless the reading of His Word this morning. As we observe Sanctity of Human Life Sunday, we all know and we must acknowledge that there is a never-ending, it seems, ongoing debate in our culture, in our society, as to the morality of abortion, as to the morality of the legality of abortion, whether it's right, when it should happen, when it should not happen. There's an ongoing debate. Listen to me. The fact that there is a debate, the fact that there is a difference of opinion, the fact that there is a different way of looking at things, the fact that not everybody agrees, in no way means that God has not spoken on this issue. The fact that there's a debate about this subject in no way means that God has in any way been unclear on this subject. And it's right here in His Word. Not everybody's clear. But I want you to know that I serve a God that is clear about it. And He's clear about a lot of things. Matter of fact, He's clear about everything. This is just where it starts. Scientifically, here's what we know. Two cells come together, and somehow, miraculously, that forms what they call a zygote. And somehow or another, that zygote in the womb, just somehow or another, by some randomness of the Big Bang theory, I guess to some people, becomes an embryo. And that embryo continues to grow as it is fed and becomes a fetus, and that fetus becomes a human child. That's scientifically what we know. What there seems to be some debate over, or what a lot of people hang their hat on this issue, is when all of this actually becomes what we call a person, all right? When does it all become a person? We just read God's Word on when it becomes a person. Here's the short answer. Here's biblically what we know. It becomes a person when God says so. Not when politicians say so, not when doctors say so, not when scientists say so, not when preachers say so, not even when mothers and fathers say so. It becomes a person when God says so. And Psalm 139 tells us that He put it all together, and that all the days of the life were ordained before one of them came to be. So here's the bottom line, folks. All of it becomes a person before any of it starts. By the grace, glory, and sovereignty of God, that's when. Now you know. Don't that make it easy? Don't that make it easy? We got all these questions. Oh, I don't know. Right here. Okay? It's all right there. I promise you. Every bit of it. Becomes a person when God says so, before two cells become together, before the zygote, before the embryo, before the fetus, before the baby, before it all. All right? We see in Psalm 139 in verse 13, I had to pick out a split passage on a page, "For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb." And then again in verse 15, "My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place." All right? And then again in verse 16, your eyes saw my unformed body. All right? The first thing I want you to know is, listen to me very carefully, God was involved every step of the way. God was. All right? And for me to step in, for any person to step in and get involved in a way that takes over what God is doing, is to recommit the original sin. It's nothing more than Eve in the Garden of Eden. God said not to eat that, but the serpent says it'll make me wise, and I'll make my own decisions here, so I'll eat it. Okay? God's involved every step of the way according to His Word. Before the body was completely formed, listen to me, God was there doing what He does and doing what He alone can do. Amen? What He and He alone can do. He sees all, He knows all, and He knows that person before the first day. Now, let's
pull this in to a little bit more close to home, right? Today. Now, none of us are being born from a cycle to a fetus today. God is still there, doing what He does, and He alone can do. He wasn't finished with you when you were born. He wasn't finished with you when you were born again. Every day, God is there, just like in all this, involved every step of the way, doing what He does and what He alone can do, both then and now. Y'all believe that? It's important. Okay? That's very important. Alright? We gotta be able to say that we believe that God was there every step of the way, like what Psalm 139 says when we were, pre-born. We gotta be able to say that we honestly believe that God is still there every step of the way today, okay? That's important. But here's the thing, alright? Back on the subject of the sanctity of human life. The world's the world does throw at us a lot of yeah, but what ifs. Alright? All the time. Constant barrage of yeah, but what ifs. Yeah, but what if this was a case of rape or incest? Yeah, but what if the father is absent, okay? Yeah, but what if there's something wrong, you know, that you would call an imperfection, a syndrome or a retardation that's going to inevitably occur to you? But what if about that, okay? Yeah, but what if the child is going to be born into poverty? Or into disease, or into a very hard life. What if about that? Yeah, but what if I can't afford a child? What if I can't, I don't see how in the world I can possibly, provide and look what I'm gonna be bringing up. Yeah, but what if about that, okay? I would venture, and this is just me talking here, that of the 4,000 abortions that take place in this country every day, all this comes up to a very small, less than 1%. Of the cases, and we spend all our time debating over that, and each individual one is significant, okay? Don't get me wrong, but we talk about the yeah, but what ifs, and it's a very, very, very small percentage of the cases that involve all the abortions. But what about all these situations? Are they not important to God? Is He not there doing what He does, and He alone can do? All right, let me tell you something. Even in these small percentages, God is involved every step of the way. Do you believe that? Okay? Even in these cases, God is involved every step of the way. I'll tell you what let's do. Let's see what God's Word has to say about that, okay? All these yeah, but what ifs in this situation, that situation. Mark chapter 10 and verse 27, Jesus looked at them and said, listen, this is good. He said, this, with man, this is impossible, but not with God. All things are possible with God. See, what I can't do, He can. He's involved. He's there every step of the way, doing what He can do, what He alone can do. In Luke chapter 1, they were talking about how in the world Elizabeth was going to have a baby, much less Mary was going to have a baby. And God's Word says, for nothing is impossible with God. Nothing! Do we believe that? Mark chapter 9, Jesus is talking to some of the guys that ask Him, well, a silly question. He said, if you can. If you can, everything is possible for him who believes. Him who trusts, him who puts his faith in me. Matthew 17:20, he replied, and the disciples have been asking a very similar question. We're unable to do what you've told us to do here, Lord. We've not been able to complete this process that you sent us out to do. What are we supposed to do? He said, because you have so little faith. I tell you the truth, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move. Nothing will be impossible for you. Nothing. Philippians 4:13, we all know it. For I can do all things through Him who gives me strength. And my personal favorite on this list, way back in the early part of the Old Testament, the Lord had paid a visit on Abraham, and He said to Abraham very simply, is anything too hard for the Lord? I mean, really, I like that. I like the way that's put. What you call a rhetorical question. The answer is no.
Nothing is too hard for the Lord. No, yeah, but what if that has ever happened to you or me is too hard for the Lord our God. And it never will be. All right? Psalm 139 back there, and in verse 14 it says, I praise you because I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful, I know that full well, okay? After saying that God was involved not just from the beginning but before it, and that He's involved every single day after that, that it, this means that everything that I am, everything that I have is a reason to praise God. Amen? All right? That's what He's trying to say. Everything is a reason to praise God. Every life is a reason to praise God. Every life has a reason. Every life is a reason to praise God. Get that video ready. I recently saw a video that illustrated this point a lot better than I can. Make sure the volume's up high enough. And I just want to show it to you this morning because thanks to Daniel's computer expertise, I was able to put it together. So go ahead and play that. Every life is a reason to praise God.
There's so much in life we can't choose. Our families, our names, our challenges. But one thing we can choose is our friends. And sometimes, they're the greatest choices we make.
Someone is there for you no matter what. It's all from the heart when it's a special day.
It's just somebody that always accepts you and knows you and gets you, no matter what you do, and they'll always, you know, be by your side.
When you're the quarterback at Alabama with championship rings and NFL dreams, the entire state wants to be your friend. That's A.J. McCarron. That's not A.J. Starr.
When I was born, the umbilical cord got caught around my neck, and it sort of cut off some of the oxygen to my brain. And so I kind of received brain damage. I don't really look at cerebral palsy as something like they'll be down, but I'll just keep going.
Raised in Center, Alabama, Starr used sports as a way to belong. But by the time he entered high school, his mind worked much faster than his body.
I wanted to compete, you know. I wanted to be out there, but due to cerebral palsy, I couldn't do it.
Starr became a fan instead of one school and one team, the Crimson Tide. He enrolled in Tuscaloosa in the summer of 2012 and would watch practice through a gap in the fence. It was his only way to connect in a place he found unfamiliar and unfriendly.
I thought I would be able to just start fresh, you know, maybe my difference wouldn't matter, but no, it's hard to make friends with you, dear.
The week before Alabama's 2012 season opener, the quarterback and the fan met, by chance, at a campus bus stop.
I saw the two buses pull off and leave him, so I just hopped in the car and pulled out and pulled over by him.
I just heard someone like scream, like, hey, you need a ride? Like, get closer and closer. I'm like, that's AJ McCarron.
He gets in, shut the door, and we start driving off. I'm like, I'm AJ. No, play football here. And he said, I know.
We were just talking about Alabama football at first. Then we sort of was talking about cerebral palsy. Then I told him, I asked him, can I be a part of the team anyway?
He's such a good kid, and he just wanted to be around the game, learning more about him, and I felt like it was my duty to kind of do something for him.
After speaking with the team's head of operations, days later, McCarron called Starr to tell him the news.
Well, we got your job. I said, you're not getting paid, though.
I said, man, I don't want money. I just want to be part of the team anyway.
I said, well, great. So you're going to work in the equipment room? And he was just glowing.
It's not a glamorous gig, but don't tell him that. In his second full season now, Star's responsibilities continue to grow.
They've grown more because we can't get rid of them. He's there every day. You don't even notice that anything is different about him. He's just one of the guys.
Everybody calls him the real AJ and messages me, which, you know, he definitely is the real AJ. I know a lot of guys love him and definitely love having him here.
There are many things in life we can't choose, but then the quarterback and the equipment manager, AJ and AJ, they chose each other.
He saved me. I thought about just giving it because I couldn't make friends here. I couldn't be accepted.
I felt like it was a message from above for us to be friends, and it's pretty cool that two AJs definitely became friends in a way that it did.
They're all my family here. I have the biggest and best family possible. I'm probably the luckiest guy in the world right now.
Every life is a reason to praise God. Every life can bring glory to God. I hope that mine will. I hope that yours will. I hope that we all recognize that every person we come into contact with was fearfully and wonderfully made. And it is by His grace that we have each other. We don't all agree on some things. Whether or not Roe versus Wade ought to be overturned, we don't all agree on that. But we can all agree that no mother should kill their baby. We don't all agree on who to vote for based on this whole mess and subject. But we can all agree that no father should abandon his child. We don't all agree that taking care of children is always easy. Or teenagers, for that matter. But we can all agree that every child is a joy. By the grace of God, every life is reason to praise the Lord. Every person can be a blessing. Every person can glorify God. Because all things are possible with God. Psalm 139, there in verse 17 and 18, tells us, how precious to me are your thoughts, O God, how vast the sum of them. Were I to count them, they would outnumber the grains of sand. When I awake, I am still with you. It tells us how precious are God's thoughts, God's plans, God's will for us, that our lives, how precious it is, all right? That our lives are all precious. And therefore, God's thoughts, because they are precious, should be precious to me, okay? And God's thoughts about me are that I have the ability to bring glory to Him. I was created by Him for a great purpose, and every other person I come into contact with was that way too. We put into perspective, you knit me together, and you knew my days, and you knew my name, and you were all, you, God was there doing that. And then how precious are your thoughts to me? It leads to one logical question that we all need to ask Him, and that's simply, Lord, what do you want me to do? What do you want me to do? Your thoughts are precious to me because you are responsible for me. I'll give you a couple of things advice. Number one, based on God's word, be a friend. Be a friend to the unloved. Be a friend to the unlovable. We see that example in this awesome video that we just watched this morning. I tell our teenagers every time I get a chance to spend any type of elongated conversation with them, you find that person in your school that nobody else likes. You find that person in the lunchroom that nobody wants to sit with, that nobody wants to talk to, and you
go be a friend to them. Be nice to them. You know why? Because that is the thought of God. As Christians, as followers of Christ, that's what He would have us to do. And by the way, that very thing does not end when you graduate. Moms and dads, be a friend to the unloved. Be a friend to the unlovable. God's thoughts are on the innocent and us being a friend to them. And by the way, there is none more innocent than an unborn child. Be a friend. Finally, and it's very simple, everybody can do great things. Everybody can do great things. Let me ask you, what makes it great? When it glorifies the God that gave us the chance. Amen? That's what makes anything great. Anything is great when it brings glory to the God that made you, that saved you, that forgives you, that gives you a purpose. God can and will do great things in any and every life that He has made. Well, I'll see how this. All things are possible with God. Everyone can do great things. You know that you are part of that, everyone? Why don't you just take a moment right there where you sit? Why don't you think about what you plan on doing tomorrow? Why don't you think about how tomorrow's going to start? I want you to think about how the day is going to go and sort of what you've got lined up in front of you. You don't have to wait till tomorrow to start. You can do this after lunch. You can do it during lunch. Just start to think about what you've got in front of you right now. Did you know that you can do great things? If God's thoughts are precious to us, if His will and His plan and His purpose, if what He wants is where we're headed, we can do great things. I don't see how I can, because all things are possible with God. That's what the Bible has to say about that. God can do so much with life. Amen? God can do so much with a life. Amen? God can do a lot with your life. Amen? Hashtag working on me. Somewhere right now, maybe in this room, somebody who's had an abortion. And they're beating themselves up and they're going through a lot of trouble and they're thinking, oh, what I've done. How can anybody, much less God, possibly redeem? You need to know that He can and does. Somewhere right now, there's somebody thinking about having an abortion. They're thinking, how in the world can I don't see it, and they're in complete disarray in their life right now. They need to know that all things are possible with God. They need a friend. They need to know the love of Jesus Christ on the mother. They need our prayers, not our pointed fingers. They need our help, not our actions. But they're really going through it right now. We need to lift them up. They need to know that by the grace of God, everything can and will be alright. You never know what somebody's going through. Alright? We need to let the world know that through the power and love of Jesus, all things are possible. They need to know forgiveness is possible. They need to know that awesome, glorious, unfathomable blessings can and will come for them and through them in this life that God has given them and knitted together from the very beginning by His grace. They need to know that. I'll close with Isaiah 41 and verse 10. And this puts a good hat on the whole subject. So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you.
I will uphold you with my righteous hand. Pray with me, please. Dear Heavenly Father, it is at this time that we are amazed by your grace, that you would see fit to hear the prayers of us. Lord, we pray at this moment for those who are riddled and stricken with guilt over things in the past. We pray that they would come to know and realize and claim the mercy of Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary. That His blood washes away every sin, and that their purpose is not lost. Your love for them is not lost in your plan and ability to do great things in their life and through their life is not lost. Lord, we lift up any of those that are stricken with fear about what lies ahead for them because the test is positive and they don't know where the money's going to come from. They don't know how in the world they're going to be able to make it all work. There are thousands, if not millions, of young ladies going through this right now, Lord. We pray that through your obedient servants, that they would be shown the love of Jesus Christ. We pray by the power of your Holy Spirit that they would come to see and know and claim the promise that all things are possible if they'll just have faith in you. Lord, help us to recognize, every one of us, to recognize the opportunities we have to be a friend to the innocent, to the unloved, to what many call unloved. Because from where you sit in heaven, that's us, unloved. And yet you did anyway. Help us to recognize a chance to show that to others. And then to do it. For those are the days you ordained for us before one of them came to be. Lord, we praise you for what's going to come from it. Because we know as always it's going to be good. And it comes out of your mind. It's in Christ's name.